Back in 1991, just as the Soviet Union was falling, Jennifer and I went to the Soviet Union, and we went to Poland, and we went to Estonia. Jennifer's father was a director of choral music at Arizona State University, and he would always go to the Soviet Union countries behind the Iron Curtain, and he would do these concerts. And we couldn't pass up the opportunity to go to Soviet Union in 1991. So we went, and we were downtown Moscow, and this guy came up to me, and he says, hey, mister, do you want to buy Soviet Union military naval watch? And I said, what? He goes, yeah, we don't have Soviet Union anymore, so we're liquidating all these watches. Would you like to buy one? He says, but you can't tell anybody that you bought one, because these are very illegal. You could be thrown into the gulag. Well, I looked at this watch, and sure enough, it's an authentic Russian military naval watch. It's very expensive. And I said, I don't think so. That's just a little bit too... No. Come here. I tell you, I give you a great deal today. I haven't sold any all day. I need to sell you this watch. No, I don't think... No, you sell watch, but it's illegal. I can't take Russian military equipment to the United States. I'll be thrown into the gulag. No. You put this high on your wrist, nobody see it, you'll be fine. How much again? Oh, I give it to you for a good deal. I'm thinking about it, it's like, well, it is the end of the Soviet Union, and now it's Russia, and this could be a collector's item someday. I mean, how many people have memorabilia from the Soviet Union that doesn't exist anymore? No, I just don't. No. Come here. I make sure you get Russian military naval watch. All right, so I buy the watch. So proud of myself. I showed Jennifer. I bought a military naval watch. She's like, yeah, right. So I take it home, and I'm showing it off to all my friends. And all of a sudden, people start pointing out to me inconsistencies about the watch. Like, it doesn't work. The major inconsistency. I'm looking at it. They're like, yeah, this is like some cheap knockoff brand that they probably got from China somewhere. This is definitely not a Russian military watch worth a lot of money or anything worth keeping. Which is probably good because I cannot find the stupid thing. I was looking for it so I could bring it out this morning and show it to you, but somewhere in the last 27 years, it has disappeared. But it was not, I'm pretty much convinced that it was not an authentic Russian military naval watch. It was probably just something, he probably hand-painted on the lettering, Russian lettering onto it. I don't know. Anyway, it was kind of disappointing. Because if somebody tells you something's authentic, right, you want to believe that it truly is as it seems. That's what authentic means. Another word for authentic is sincere, right? Genuine. The word sincere actually means, it's from the Latin, it's sin, which means without, and sere, which means wax. Because apparently, a long time ago, if somebody had made a mistake on the genuine article, either in pottery or sculpture or anything, the wax was much more easily to work with and it was readily available, and they would go and it would put wax on the pottery or on the sculpture to make it look really genuine, but it wasn't. It had partial wax on it. That's where the word sincere comes from. We're continuing our sermon series on the pillars of Christ Lutheran Vale Church, and today we're talking about one of our important pillars, which is that we are a church, we are a people who build authentic relationships. We are a people who build authentic relationships. And what does that really mean? What does it mean to have an authentic relationship? We're going to talk about that this morning. And I really want to go to our book of Psalms, because you find this theme all throughout the Psalms about our relationship with God. And it talks about what an authentic relationship looks like. I want to go back to Psalm 139 that we read this morning, beginning at verse 1, where David writes, O Lord, you have searched me. And you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. What basically David is saying to God is that you know everything about me. You know when I wake up, you know when I rise, when I go down to sleep, you know all my likes, all my dislikes, all my idiosyncrasies. Do you have somebody in your life that knows your idiosyncrasies? I have one. I'm married to her. And she knows I've just got these crazy idiosyncrasies. You have them too. Don't look at me like that. One of my craziest idiosyncrasies, and I don't know where this came from and I don't know why it is, but that when I put my clothes on the hanger, they have to be facing all the same way. Do you have that in your family? Does somebody have that idiosyncrasy? Yeah, there are some people that don't care. You know, you could put the hanger left or you can put it right. And it just really bothers me when the hanger is, when I'm there and the one is turned around. It just, I don't know why, but it bothers me. If you go into Rita Ranch and you buy, and you get your clothes dry cleaned, they put them all the wrong way on the hanger. And here's the weird thing, is it's actually a one-sided hanger. You can't turn the hanger around because it's wrong. So do you have somebody that knows you so well that they know how you like to hang up your clothes in the closet? Do you have somebody that knows you so well that they know what your favorite food is, what you hate, what things really excite you, what things don't excite you? To have somebody that knows you that well, that's part of an authentic relationship. Or we go on. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Have you ever had anybody in your life that can complete your sentences for you? Like they know the words on your tongue even before they come out of your mouth. They come home from work, there's something that happened, and you know just exactly what they're going to say even before they say it. Or if you're starting to say something, they can even complete your sentence for you. Do you have someone that knows you that well? That's part of an authentic relationship. But there's even more than that in verse 5, where David writes, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. You hem me in. What does it mean to be hemmed in? It means that you're not going to escape, right? The hem kind of completes the cloth. It creates a barrier on the cloth. Do you have someone in your life that loves you so much that they won't let you escape? They're going to hem you in to make sure that you face the truth in your life. That is part of an authentic relationship. It's somebody that knows you so well, they know all your idiosyncrasies. It's somebody that knows you're coming in, you're going out. It's somebody that is willing to be with you through the difficult times and force you at times to see the truth about yourself in your life. That is an authentic relationship. And let me tell you something. We all need authentic relationships in our life. Because when you don't have an authentic, if you don't have somebody that knows you so well that they know everything about you, then you are not living the full life that God created you to live. He wants us to have whole, authentic relationships, but we don't. Why don't we? Well, that is a good question. Part of it is because we are not necessarily open and honest with the people that are surrounding us. We have relationships with people, but we're not open and honest in those relationships. Psychologists tell us that you cannot have that kind of a deep level authentic relationship with more than about 10 or 15 people in your life at a time. Now, it can change over time, but because it's going to take so much time to learn about each other, you're going to have to spend time with people. That's the second thing. You just got to spend time together. It takes a lot of time to build relationships. Look at Jesus. Now, Jesus could have had a great relationship with thousands of people. He was God. He knew people. He could read them immediately. But he chose not to. He chose to have a deep, authentic relationship, mostly with his three, Peter, James, and John, and then his disciples. which were the 12. And he spent 3 years of deep, intense relationship building with them to the point that where he left, they still felt that relationship with Jesus for the rest of their life. You see, that's the great thing about relationships, right? Is that once you've established kind of a deep, authentic relationship with somebody, even if they go away for a while, it still seems as if it was just yesterday. Is this not true? We had the great fortune sometime in November, December, I can't remember, but our family, my whole family lives in Phoenix. And when my mother died 3 years ago, we have not been together since. And so we decided that we were going to be driving through to do something. And so we decided to all get together. And we all got together. And we're just like 30 of us in the household. And going around and just sharing the joy and the love. You know, it's sometimes it's just as if it was just yesterday when we saw each other. Do you have friends like that? I have another friend that was coming through town. We were best friends in high school and college. He now lives in California. He lives in Seattle, Washington. He was in California. Now he's in Seattle, Washington. He was coming through town, drove down to see him, and it's just like you pick up right where you left off. That's what a deep, genuine, authentic relationship is like. But sometimes we never get there. Sometimes we are so afraid. The psychologist says, people who study relationships say that for most of us, so this is most of the people in this room, we hold back about 10 to 15% of who we truly are. We'll share everything up to a point, but there's still some little part of us that we never share with anybody. And when we do that, we are not being 100% authentic. And why are we like that? And you know the answer. It's because we're afraid that that last 10 or 15% is going to be the something about us, about our characterality, about our characteristic, our personality, our flaws, that when we finally share them exactly who we are, that they're not going to like us anymore, that they're going to walk away from us and they're not going to be a friend anymore. My friends, the church, the Christian church, should be the place for authentic relationships. Because we know that Jesus came to make us whole again, to wipe away all of our sin, to say, yeah, that's the way that you are, but I love you anyway. In the church should be the one place where we should be free to have authentic relationships. Because we know about God's grace. We know that He loves us and He cares for us no matter what. That is the huge foundation of a relationship. When I was younger, living in Phoenix, I had a friend, and his big thing was that he would go up onto South Mountain with a black light. Have you ever done this? You may not have gone to South Mountain, but gone into the desert area at night with a black light. You turn it on, and what are you going to see? You see all the scorpions. That's right, because they come out, and you can see all the scorpions. Well, he took me once with him. We went to South Mountain. He goes, this is going to freak you out. I said, what's going to freak me out? Just watch. So he turned on the black light. There were scorpions everywhere. Yes, it did freak me out. But see, that's what an authentic Christian relationship is. Because when it's centered around God's Word is like that black light, right? And it shines into the darkness of the deep crevices of our life, and it points out things about ourselves that we don't necessarily see without God's Word. And so a Christian relationship, a good, deep, authentic Christian relationship is just that. It's based in God's Word. It shows where the flaws are, and it can help you understand more about yourself than anybody else. Here at Christ Lutheran Vale, we're trying to start and trying to continue small groups so that we can build authentic relationships in our lives, because we all need them. If you are not authentic, then you are living portion of your life that you're worried that somebody's going to love you. But when you live an authentic life, then who you are is who you are. And that is the best way. Psychologists, everybody says that's the best way to live, to be who you are and to know that God has redeemed you. It provides the most freedom in your life. Now, he doesn't leave you there, but at least he shows you who you are, and he loves you, and that is the foundation for any authentic relationship. As we move forward in our church, may God continue to find in your life authentic relationships through the ever-loving, most authentic relationship, which is between us and God, because he knows us every step of the way, and he still loves us. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, before we do our tithes and offerings, we're going to bring forward somebody who's building authentic relationships. And her name is Mrs. Jennifer Hook. She did the children's sermon, and she's going to talk to you a bit.